Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams. Some exotic
booze. We are continuing a conversation that we started at Kilronan Castle in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland. And we did some overtime. And this overtime is what we're going to share with you now. And that is a visit with my very good friend, Mark Leslie. I want you to remember that much of what we do is also archived at sabrams.com. So you can find the archived audio there. I am so happy to have the luxury of the generosity of your time, Mr. Leslie. It is a pleasure. And there are a number of things we didn't get to talk about in the segment we did originally. So I'm happy that we can produce this overtime segment to continue some of the things we'd otherwise miss out on.
Like all those movies where they show you the outtakes at the end.
Well, something like that.
Often better than the movie.
Well, don't you love to say, you know, it's funny you mention that, because one of my pet peeves is I really feel like, even though I'm not in the film industry, the people that do all the work to bring you some remarkable experience at the cinema deserve the respect of your staying to the end while every one of the names you don't know scrolls by on the screen. And far too many people are getting up and leaving the cinema, the movie theater, the second the film is finished. And there are so many times when my husband and I, and maybe one or two other stragglers, but most of the time it's just us, holding up the popcorn cleaner-uppers who are waiting to get in to clean up after. And at the very end, after all the credits have gone by, there is some hysterical bit that is pulled out from anywhere from 10 seconds to a minute and a half of outtakes or, you know, shots that were done when the camera wasn't supposed to be rolling.
And quite apart from that, the credits themselves are fascinating.
Oh, my gosh.
To suddenly discover that Tunisia was actually filmed in Texas, or that it took 23 stuntmen to, you know, fall off the one horse or whatever. Or, oh, my God, that's a version of the Elvis song, you know, sung by somebody completely different. And you know, I mean, there's just so much fascinating information.
And you're right about the locations, because, of course, one of the things I'm most interested in is where was it filmed.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating to find out how many times things that you think are filmed in Africa are filmed in Canada.
Yes, or Boston has stood in for Dublin, or Dublin has stood in for Boston.
Well, you know, we were just last week, we visited a place that in theory makes its money showing people around their silver mine and their lead mine here in Ireland. And when we got there, we were told that there was a film being made on property. But I forgot about that part. And because I was told that 5 or 6 days before we got to the silver mine place. And we got to the silver mine. And the thing about the silver mine is that while it's meant to support the people who live on the property and pay the taxes and feed them, the gold mine on the property is using the land for filming. And the third film of the same film company is in the process of being made there. And Lord knows how many thousands of dollars a day this fellow was paid. So that they can bring on 20 or 30 of these big... They look like... You know what a Winnebago is?
Yes.
These giant...
Trucks.
Multi-hundreds of thousands... Yeah. That inside, you know, you could move in and live there forever quite comfortably. And they were being used as the changing rooms for the people starring in the films. And then all these other trucks with equipment, you know, and cables. And everywhere you looked, there was a cable that was the size of an elephant's trunk that you had to step over. Because there had to be 30 trucks on property. And this is the third film they're making.
Wow.
So it turned out that the gold mine was not the silver mine.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yes.
But the punchline is that the story that you will see is meant to have you believe you're in Montana.
Of course.
And it's being filmed in Connemara.
Yeah.
On the west coast of Ireland. Yeah. So, you know, that's a happiness.
The magic of the silver screen.
Yeah, well, but you're very much involved in the magic of... the things that you do as the founder, genius, visionary behind Martello Media, which creates visitor center experiences, not only in Ireland but other places. Churchill, the Power of the Word?
In the Morgan Library,
in the J.P. Morgan Library. And that was there for months. The exhibits that are now in Malta at Fort St. Angelo, the Science Museum, and now the Fine Arts Museum there. The exhibits you've done all over Ireland that I'm aware of have been to, where what you've done enhances the understanding of the visitor.
Well, I call myself a narrative architect. I like to find spaces that have a story or tell a story in those spaces, and sometimes they can be real spaces and sometimes they can be virtual. And certainly the TV series link is always interesting. I have the privilege at the moment of working on a place called Ormond Castle, very little known. It's the family, medieval family castle of the Butler family, one of the great sort of warlord, the two warlord dynasties in Ireland.
So let me stop you there. I met a young chap at your sister Sammy's 40th birthday party, which went on for 4 days and three nights. There were 50 of us, including you, who were invited for the whole four-day, three-night event. And then other people were invited Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday brunch, independently, individually, who floated in and out. One of the people I met who was there for the whole shebang was a fellow named David Butler, who has the same birthday as my son, September 16th. And we were randomly seated together at dinner the first night and wound up spending a lot of time over the next 4 days together. And during that time, he gave me the history of the Butler family.
Yes.
So, would the castle you're talking about, Oranmore?
No. Ormond Castle.
Would that be related to Butler's...
He would be a direct descendant of Black Tom Butler.
How did he get this name, Black Tom?
He was dark-looking, and he probably killed a lot of people in his day. But it's a swashbuckling drama, pure Game of Thrones. You had three dynasties who were cousins struggling for the control of Ireland. The Fitzgeralds, the Butlers, and the new upstart monarchy in England, the Tudors, Welsh people.
Okay, so now where would this have taken place?
Ireland was... Elizabeth the East in England's Vietnam or Afghanistan. Good Queen Bess blew more money, capital, lost more soldiers trying to subjugate Ireland, keep the Spanish out. You know, Britain could not be a superpower unless its Western approach was secured. And this was their Syria, because it was wild tribes beyond the pale, warlords who'd come here to conquer Ireland for England centuries before and had gone native. And then a new centralising dynasty in Ireland trying to control the whole thing. And for those of you who've watched The Tudors or Wolf Hall and the story of Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn's grandmother, grandmother, sorry, was Irish. And because of this, the warlord clan, the Butlers, who'd married into the the Boleyn family, by weird quirk of fate, the heir to this Irish castle was a cousin, therefore, of, through Anne Boleyn, Queen Elizabeth. So the English kidnapped him as a child, brought him to England, said, "We will educate him to be English, speak English, think English. He will be our Hamid Karzai to help us subjugate our sort of Afghanistan." His two brothers were Irish-speaking, wore Irish clothes, wore Irish dress, and his mother, Margaret Butler, was actually a Fitzgerald from the rival clan of warlords.
So where exactly is Ormond Castle?
Carrick-on-Suir, in the centre of the south of Ireland, okay. And it's the furthest bit up tide, it's a tidal river that the English ships could get. And he had been married off to a rich English heiress who was not faithful to him. She had four different boyfriends. And he said, "If you come to Wild Savage Island, I will build you a glorious Tudor-Beaton mansion on the style of the great country houses you see in England for you." So he tacked onto the front of this savage medieval castle this glorious mansion with panelling and plasterwork and tapestries, exactly on the style of the great houses of England. It didn't do the trick. She carried on with her four English boyfriends. But
the Fitzgeralds, I want to talk about them. And we're going to take a quick commercial break and pay close attention, come back in a minute or two, and we're going to carry forth, because I have an inkling about the Fitzgeralds that we need to talk about. So don't leave me, people. Talking with Mark Leslie here at Kilronan Castle in Overtime.
Looking for great island destinations that have beautiful beaches and amazing sightseeing and shopping? Try Malta. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Just off the coast of Italy, with three islands for travelers to explore, you'll find walled cities, Baroque towns, sleepy villages, gorgeous seaside resorts, wonderful hotels and spas, great restaurants, beautiful beaches, the spiritual paths of St. Paul, and the Cathedral of the Knights of the Order of St. John. Whatever your interest, you'll find it in Malta. Whether it's bustling fishing ports that provide you with an abundance of unique experiences, charming cafes, nightlife, clubs, restaurants, and glorious pastry shops that remind travelers of Baroque living, incredible architecture, historic forts, and a world of art, rare books, and botanical gardens, make Malta a must-visit experience. For details, go to visitmalta.com. Stephanie Abrams here, inviting you to Northern Ireland's dazzling North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers to stage their works. Walk in mythical steps of Giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrick Reed Rope Bridge. Take a walk on the sugary sand of Port Stewart's Beach, and have a bite and a pint at Harry Shack, with a million-dollar sea view. Drive through the canopy of trees called Dark Hedges and visit Ballantoy Harbor and Quarry, all used as natural settings for Game of Thrones. Press on to Cushendon, a fairy tale, enchanting seaside village where boutique shops and a local pub will surely entice you.
Start planning now. Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Carrick Reed. That's nationaltrust.org.uk. Search for Carrick Reed.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
Grasses grow in waters.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
What a lovely way to begin the new year here at Kilronan Castle in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland on a gorgeous sunny day with the happy thoughts and such positivity that I always feel the aura of just sitting with my good friend Mark Leslie. He's the founder, CEO of Martello Media, a company that creates visitors' experiences. And we're beginning to talk about other places that you have done installations. Let's start with the ones in Ireland. You mentioned the Yeats exhibit, which is remarkable, at the National Library in Dublin, which is very easy to get to. Go there first and then do your shopping so you're not encumbered with bundles. But it's right near all the great shopping in Dublin and everything else there is to see. But you've done
a few
at least two other, well, three others that I can think of now. Let me see if there's more that I'm leaving out. The Irish Whiskey Museum, the General Post Office, and Glasnevin Cemetery.
Yes.
Anything else in that region that you've done?
Well, those would be, I mean, we did quite a lot of work on the Guinness Storehouse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But certainly I'd mention the General Post Office.
Let's start with that.
Yes.
What makes that special?
The General Post Office was a symbolic, it looks like a Grecian temple. It's in the middle of the widest street in Dublin. And because it was the centre of communications for the whole island, 100 years ago, 101 years ago now, the revolutionaries, who are effectively the founders of the modern Irish state, staged a coup, if you like, a rebellion, and seized that building. It would be equivalent to seizing the television station today. It was a terrible shock. It wasn't expected. And in a piece of sort of political theatre, they read the proclamation of the Irish Republic, the principles, if you like, the title deeds of which our modern constitution are based, very much equivalent to the American Declaration of Independence.
This had been April of 1916.
And against all the odds, a small band of about 1,000 half-trained civilian volunteers held the capital city, Dublin, against overwhelming forces. 20,000 British soldiers with heavy artillery and gunboats. And though inevitably the British succeeded at Cirtley in destroying the city centre of Dublin and burning the post office down, forcing the rebels to surrender, their military failure turned into huge political success because effectively the British then wrote the blueprint of how to turn a disaster into complete catastrophe, which is...
It was a massacre, it was a bloodbath.
Yes, they covered their failure, as so often happens, with thousands, by arresting thousands of innocent people who were not involved in the real rebellion, so that they didn't look that they'd been made sort of monkeys of by such a small number of people. And then they made the mistake of imprisoning for over a year several thousand innocent Dublin citizens, along with a couple of hundred surviving rebels, who naturally turned the prison camp in Wales into a university of revolution. And then a year into it, they let them all out again, released them back into the wild, and wondered why they had a much, much bigger problem on their hands second time round, because those very irate citizens came back and staged an independence war.
Now, the General Post Office, in its abbreviated way, the GPO, what is the name of the street that it's on, that big street?
O'Connell Street.
Okay, and O'Connell Street, of course, is named for Daniel O'Connell, who was, in essence, the George Washington of Dublin and of Ireland, and was very much revered, and is also a key factor, a key presence at Glasnevin Cemetery, which is used to be the outskirts of Dublin, is very much part of Dublin today. But before we get away from the GPO, it really is similar to, I guess, the story of the Alamo, because there was no escape for the people that were in that building.
Oh, they were doomed. And by the
How do architects build buildings without back doors?
Well, there was a back door, but if the street behind you is on fire and being raked by a machine gun fire, and actually, by and large, they sort of got out and could have fought on, but their leader, Patrick Pearse, realised that he was in one of the most densely inhabited slum areas of Dublin, and that many hundreds, if not thousands, civilians would lose their lives if they continued the battle, not in a heavily sandbagged, fortified Alamo-type building, but randomly street-fighting through an inhabited area where ordinary people had no chance of escape. Now, ironically, Daniel O'Connell, who you know, who's probably the real founding father of an independent Irish state, and was one of the great forerunners of all of the civil rights leaders, the Martin Luther Kings and the Mahatma Gandhis, all sought inspiration. He was a great believer in non-violence. He said, the altar of liberty totters if it's only cemented with blood. And he would have been appalled at the 1916 Rising, and heartbroken that it had to come to that level of violence for Ireland to get its freedom, because he came 70 years earlier than he came within an ace of getting Ireland home rule peacefully. And it was only that his premature death and the onset of the Irish famine broke the spirit of the Irish at that time, because he had successfully achieved full civil rights for Irish Catholics and thought that he would regain Ireland's constitutional rights as at least a semi-independent country within the British Empire. So I would be a much bigger fan of Daniel O'Connell, who was certainly famous all round the world. When the Belgians were given independence, they said, who would you like to be your king? Daniel O'Connell, they said. When the great Frederick Douglass fled America because he was under danger of being repatriated back down to the south under the laws, where did he get his big welcome? In Ireland. Daniel O'Connell staged a rally of 30,000 people and welcomed Frederick Douglass to Ireland as the Daniel O'Connell of America, who would achieve full civil rights and equality for the black Americans. And it was a very proud moment when Frederick Douglass's granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, Nettie Douglass, arrived in Ireland.
Nettie Washington Douglass. Yeah. Her great-grandfather was Booker T. Washington, and her great-great-grandfather was Frederick Douglass. So you're talking about American royalty, really.
Double royalty, yes, because on her mother's side and her father's side,
yes,
she had that amazing connection. And she, I must say, was a very gracious wonderful person and spoke most movingly. And Frederick Douglass, when he landed in Ireland, took a taxi, a Jarvie coach. He landed in Cork, and the taxi driver just chatted to him as if he was a white person. He said that was the first moment where he felt truly free.
Well, in his writings, he mentions that the first time Frederick Douglass, talking about himself, It was the first time he felt that he was a man and not a black man.
Yes,
was when he arrived in Ireland.
And Nettie, very movingly, said she knew nothing about Ireland except her great-grandfather's account. And she gets into the taxi in Dublin Airport. And the same, obviously the great-grandson of the same taxi, coach driver, just chatted to her way as if she was a friend or a neighbour, the way Irish cabbies do.
But this would have been a horse-drawn something.
No, just an ordinary cab at the airport. Oh, she just gets in.
Oh, you're talking about Nettie?
Nettie, yes.
Oh, I'm talking about Frederick.
Yes, Frederick gets into a horse-drawn.
He would have been, you know, when we talk about a cab, we would have been talking about a horse-drawn...
Exactly, it's 18.
We'll be right back, people. Well, don't leave me talking with Mark Leslie.
Have you been to Serendipity 3? Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Serendipity 3, located at 225 East 60th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues in New York City, offers their signature frozen hot chocolate and hot fudge sundaes. Yum. Hungry? Have a yummy brunch, lunch, pre and post theater dinners and munchables in an atmosphere designed to make the best memories. The haunt of celebrities and people in the know for over five decades, Serendipity 3 is open Sunday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to midnight and Saturdays until 1 a.m. A New York City visit is incomplete without a stop at Serendipity 3. Before you leave there, pick up a copy of my novel, Rumors, from their darling gift shop. Visit serendipity3.com for menus and details.
BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
We paid less for a Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now. Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, in the merry month,
it's travel with Stephanie Abrams.
In County Roscommon, in the Republic of Ireland, on a gorgeous winter day. Check out the sun, it's lovely. And I am here with my encyclopedic friend, Mark Leslie, who is the CEO and founder of Martello Media, a company that is always up to its neck in creating yet again another wonderful visitor's experience at some attraction somewhere in the world. So if you have an attraction that needs some perking up, you might want to be talking with them because the work they do is genius. And also a member of the family, the Leslie family, from Castle Leslie in County Monaghan, the place where Paul McCartney got married. And so many other wonderful events take place at a fine equestrian center, and it's just a grand place. You'll love it there. So we were talking about embattled families and Ormond Castle.
Yes.
What years would we be talking about?
Ormond Castle is a 12th, 13th, 14th century castle. But what it's famous for is this extraordinary mansion that was built onto the front in 1565. Now, for people who aren't familiar with the ins and outs of Irish history, the 16th and 17th century were very fraught. It was the final conquest and destruction of the Gaelic order in Ireland. People were lucky if they had a kind of medieval tower house to live in. And it wasn't until total pacification of Ireland under the Anglo-Irish ascendancy in the 18th century that people began building fine houses. So to suddenly come across this great stately mansion on the best English style with its wonderful plaster ceilings and its panelled long galleries, something, you know, like Hatfield House or whatever in England, something that you'd see in the Tudors or Wolf Hall or all those movies about Henry VIII and Elizabeth I, is quite a shock. In fact, most people aren't even aware it exists.
Now, is Ormond Castle open to view? Is it a museum
place? It is completely open to the public. It's in state care, and the Irish state have spent the last 50 years lovingly putting it back into its original order.
What is the town that it's in?
Carrick-on-Suir.
Carrick-on-Suir. Yeah. And what is the closest other town to it we'd know?
Near Waterford.
Okay.
You know, on the beautiful Suir River. And suddenly there's this stately English house where probably all of the brocades and damask were shipped over from England. It was about as far up river as the tide could take it. So it was a beachhead for English political power and culture, and the English attempt to say the only way we can conquer Ireland is have one or more of the two warlord clans, the Fitzgeralds and the Butlers, who were sent hundreds of years previously, came in the 11th and 12th century, married Irish girls and turned native. And we've got to get at least one of those warlord clans on our side if we're to extend the royal authority. And as by pure happen chance, the heir to the Earldom of Ormond, Black Tom Butler, was a second cousin of Queen Elizabeth I and had been brought over to England and educated in the same classroom as Prince Edward, who the young infant son of Henry VIII, who, when he died, there was a counter-reformation and Bloody Mary and King Philip II came into Spain. So by default, he'd been made a Protestant and taught English, and he shared the dangers. When Elizabeth and he were young teenagers, they could have been beheaded, on any excuse, because Elizabeth
nasty business
was the daughter of Protestant Anne Boleyn, and the Queen Mary was the daughter, you know, of Catherine of Aragon. So with their shared danger, they had
a great... Catholic.
Yeah.
And the sister of the King of Spain.
Well, they had a great bond. So this Irishman came back to claim his inheritance and used it to do for the Fitzgeralds. There was a huge battle at Achillane where they were fighting each other, and the Queen summoned the two Fitzgerald brothers and the three Ormond boys and said, "You can't be fighting each other. You are my subjects. I'm your new sovereign liege lord. You must turn around and fight the wild Irish beyond the wall, beyond the pale." It's all very Game of Thrones. But he managed to say, no, it was their fault. And the two Fitzgeralds were locked in the Tower of London. And it triggered a huge uprising of the Fitzgeralds called the Desmond Wars.
Okay, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Which brings us to what I was going to ask you, I mentioned in the last segment, the Fitzgeralds. I have loving, fond memories, may he rest in peace, of Desmond Fitzgerald, the 29th Knight of Glynn. And Fitzgerald spelled capital F and capital G in one word, designating a direct lineage to the real deal. The Castle Glynn is located on that strip of land along the Shannon River estuary, the narrow strait of water that goes out and meets the Atlantic. And the castle, the oldest parts of the castle, were built 800 years ago.
Yes, well, these are exactly the Fitzgeralds.
These are the guys.
These are the guys.
Well, and you said the Desmond Wall.
Yes.
You know, and Desmond Fitzgerald is, yes. I mean, it's what, a year and a half, 2 years now that he's passed on?
Well, the Fitzgeralds, there was the Leinster Fitzgeralds, who became the great dukes of Leinster, and their close cousins, the Desmond Fitzgerald, because there was a dukedom, they were the Earls of Desmond, it was a reason. So not surprisingly, a common first name is to be called Desmond Fitzgerald, after the area that they effectively were become, from English conquerors, they turned into Irish kingdoms.
But you know the sad part of that? It became clear with Henry VIII and Elizabeth I, his daughter, with Anne Boleyn, that a woman could become queen. Desmond Fitzgerald, the recent, not hundreds of years old, Desmond Fitzgeralds from the past, had five girls.
Yes.
He has at least one or two grandsons that I know of, but he had five daughters. And I remember him lamenting to me that he is the 29th Knight of Glynn and the last Knight of Glynn. I said, well, how can you be the last Knight? You know, what about your grandsons? No, nope, can't skip a generation. Well, how about your daughters? No, nope, a woman cannot inherit the title of Knight. I said, listen, if you could have a queen instead of a king, why can't you have a Knightess or something? Or better still, a Knight out.
Under the Gaelic Brehon laws, the Irish, no problem having a female leader. Many of the most toughest women in Irish history, Grace O'Malley, you know, the pirate queen,
Go Grace!
Yeah, you know. But the Anglo-Normans were French, very conservative, old-fashioned, and things could only go through the male line, which caused terrible problems for England, like the civil war between Queen Matilda and whoever the, you know, who was the rightful eldest daughter. But a cousin said, no, we can't have a woman. And Queen Elizabeth, there was shock horror. But Henry only had two daughters, so first it went to Mary and then it went to Elizabeth, and it was not at all certain that she would be able to hold England together. There were all these powerful dukes of Northumberland, and our hero, the builder of Ormond Castle, backed her. He was very fond of her. They were close cousins. And at a time when her rule was very shaky, it wasn't clear what a tough, intelligent, wise ruler she would turn into, backed her and branded the whole castle as plaster ceilings with her coat of arms, her initials, his initials intertwining. And she adored him for his loyalty at a time when it wasn't at all clear she'd be able to keep the throne.
How does a traveller coming to Ireland interface with all this history and Ormond Castle, and you've thrown out mentions of the TV series, The Tudors, Game of Thrones,
Wolf Hall.
The Wolf Hall.
Yeah.
How does all that fit together in a puzzle?
Well, they will come to Ormond Castle when it reopens.
When will that be?
In May or June of this year.
2018.
Now, it always had excellent guides who tell you the stories and bring you round. But they will be coming back to all of the grand rooms, which had got damp and neglected, because it was a dower house. The butlers went on to build the great Kilkenny Castle, and they rather neglected. And it was never destroyed, but it was sort of slowly falling down.
What does
down.
A dower house mean?
It's where you put...
The old lady,
you know. When the lord dies, the dowager lady right. gets sent off so that the new young lord can take in.
Who was the woman that Maggie Smith played in Downton Abbey?
Yeah, well, the dowager
she was the dowager
lady,
or something.
Whatever, yes.
Whatever. Yes, so... But she had a very fine Georgian-looking house.
Yes. Well, you often had a fine dower house. So Ormond Castle was a dower house, was falling down. And so, miraculously, had it been the main castle, they would have long since ripped out all the Elizabethan interiors and upgraded it in the 18th and 19th century.
And gone to something trendy and fashionable for the period.
Yes. And all the original timbers were there. A lot of the plaster had fallen down, but there was enough for them to create moulds off here put it all back as it was. So it's astonishing. But what we will do, the fairy dust that we will, is tell the story of
Martello Media.
Because we will make the movie, you know. We will do the animated Game of Thrones type tapestry showing how the Fitzgeralds and the Tudors intersected, intermarried, and how at the height of the Desmond Wars, Black Tom's two brothers and his mother were fighting for the Fitzgeralds against Queen Elizabeth.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and come right back talking with Mark Leslie. Always a fascination. Stay with me. This is Stephanie Abrams.
He was almost tired of the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt a hare and turn her down.
Movies show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sunday starting February 4th on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Tickets are now on sale for the 2018 Tanglewood season, entitled Bernstein Centennial Summer, celebrating Lenny at Tanglewood. Maestro Andrus Nelsons and world-famous guest conductors lead the Boston Symphony Orchestra in timeless classical masterpieces. Reserve your space at Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. Tickets are now on sale. Call 888-266-1200 or visit tanglewood.org.
Stephanie Abrams here, inviting you to Northern Ireland's North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers. Walk in mythical footsteps of giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrickaree Rope Bridge. Enjoy miles of sugary sand at Port Stewart Beach. And have a bite at Harry's Shack with its million-dollar panoramic beach view.
Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Giant's Causeway.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Gloriously gorgeous sunny day overlooking the lake and the beautiful grounds in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland with my very good friend Mark Leslie. We were talking about the exhibit at Glasnevin Cemetery in Dublin. When you leave the exhibit area, you're actually out in the cemetery, and like Père Lachaise in Paris, you will find so many of the civil rights leaders, political leaders, authors, musicians,
artists,
people of all sorts, who are buried there in Glasnevin Cemetery. And when you enter the exhibit, the first thing that struck me was that there are the symbols that bring to mind specific religions, and I think there's about 80 of them, different symbols in recognition of the religions of at least 80 different religious backgrounds of people who were buried in the cemetery. And, I'd like you to just share with our audiences why this is important, because the underlying reason that Daniel O'Connell felt compelled to have a cemetery where anyone, regardless of their religious background or their lack of religious background, could be buried.
Well, the British had cunningly used religion to divide and rule in Ireland and to keep the Catholic majority in terms of semi-slavery in terms of their civil rights. I won't sort of bore you with the details, but at the very level, they couldn't even have their own cemeteries, they could not say the prayers of their own religion over the dead, and you were fined for dying. It cost you £5, which was like equivalent to sort of $500 today, or maybe even $5,000 to die. It was a tax, and that went to educating Protestants, while they, in contrast, for most of that period, were not allowed to even learn to read or write, much like black slaves in America. It was illegal to teach them to read or write. So
it was more than illegal.
Yeah.
If an individual were caught teaching an Irish Catholic child to do reading, writing, arithmetic, they were subject to immediate execution.
Yes, and therefore it was extraordinary generosity of spirit that Daniel O'Connell defied the authorities, saying, I am opening the cemetery, and fear not, it will not be a Roman Catholic cemetery, it'll be bigger than that. It will be a cemetery for people of any religion or no religion, which was pretty advanced thinking for the 1820s.
No kidding.
And as a result of that, right-minded people of all faiths, including the official established Protestant church, that technically by state law everyone belonged to and had to pay tithes, whether they were a Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Methodist, as far as the state was concerned, you were in the Church of England or you weren't, you know, and that was it, whether you liked it or not. And right-minded Protestants of the Church of England said, I want to be buried in this man's cemetery. So it was the first multicultural and multi-denominational institution in Ireland. And let's face it, the religious issue still has bedeviled Northern Ireland, you know, for many years since. So to think that in the 1820s, people of all political and religious persuasions flocked to show their support for the principle of a secular cemetery where you could celebrate your faith. So there's Muslims buried beside Jews, there's Catholics next to Protestants, Buddhists. And our exhibition, we show what were the funerary rites and prayers of these people and what happens to you after you die. We have a whole interactive animated computer wall where you can see, which you very seldom find out, you know, what do the Seventh-day Adventists or the Mormons think happened to you when you die? But it represents all the people that are buried there. And politically, we have dead and wounded soldiers who are buried there fighting for the British Empire, Irish heroes who fought for independence, leaders of both sides in our civil war. So can you imagine if you went to Arlington Cemetery and had civil rights leaders, black from the south, next to Governor Wallace, Robert E. Lee buried next to Abraham Lincoln, George Washington buried next to General Burgoyne. So all of Irish history and all its glory and complicated is represented there. So I would say it's the best day out in a cemetery in all of North Dublin. And the irony is that we are all united in death and all lie beside each other in death.
Yeah, and you've got Michael Collins' grave with monument almost immediately when you exit the visitor center experience. And if you haven't seen the film Michael Collins, I think it was made in the 1980s. It's with Liam Neeson and I think Alan Rickman played Eamon De Valera. Yeah. And Liam Neeson played Michael Collins.
And Julia Roberts plays the love interest.
Yeah, you really have to see this film.
But he was a great romantic hero and had away the benefit of dying young in his prime. So he is of huge interest. His grave is covered with flowers.
Every day, people bring fresh flowers there. It's remarkable.
Whereas his archenemy, his leader of the other side in our civil war, who made the mistake of surviving the civil war and going on to lead the country very ably for many decades, Eamon De Valera, I think at 4 o'clock every evening, one elderly lady comes and spits on his grave.
Oh, my goodness.
Who must have lost a relative in the Civil War.
My goodness. Maybe that was more information than I needed.
Yes. But it's still rather delightful that these long-dead still matter, you know, even to care enough to spit on the grave.
The stories and the emotion linger on.
Yeah.
And, you know, 100 years ago is a long time on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's people remembering stories that their grand told them when they were 4.
Yes, it's the twinkling of an eye.
That's it. So, you know, the stories are still very much alive and with us, and the wounds are quite deep.
I mean, I'm only a 60-year-old, 65-year-old, but I was lucky enough to meet the late, great Eamon De Valera, and my beloved Uncle Jack, who only died 2 years ago in his 100th year,
Sir John Leslie.
Recount very direct, living experiences of meeting Michael Collins. And I've been disappointed because he was the great Irish Pimpernel, the terrorist leader who could just vanish into the ground, master of disguise. And so he was a bit disappointed when a rather tired-looking civil servant in a trilby hat and a crumpled Macintosh said, oh, my God, he's so ordinary-looking. And I think, that was his secret. That's how the Scarlet Pimpernel escapes. He looks like an insurance salesman. He gets through every military checkpoint, you know, on his bicycle.
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing, and you can find the archived interview at S. Abrams, S-A-B-R-A-M-S.com. Eamon O'Queeve, who is now a minister for the Galway-Connemara region in the Irish government. And he is the grandson of Eamon de Valera. And
born in New York, in relation to that.
Eamon O'Queeve was 26 years old when his grandfather died.
Yes.
And they were very close.
Yeah.
And so he has wonderful stories to tell. He's roaming everywhere telling them. And you'll find it all at sabrams.com. We've run out of time. Well, for those of you on radio, stay with us. For TV, come back next week.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.